this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris Wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 46 of Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. This is episode... Wow, this episode of Three in the Box is being recorded Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about wrapping up the preseason, last-minute acquisitions, and the pending opening day. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
And before we get into things, we just want to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter, at Three in the Box. Even tonight, we were talking about our good friend, number 77, who has now left the Wild.
Ray Bork?
Yeah.
Yeah.
who is now committing penalties in Montreal. But so how you guys doing?
Good. Yeah, you know, we had a fantasy draft.
Yeah, we did.
And it's bad.
You had a fantasy and it was bad?
I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, thinking about that, some of our friends that were leaving, Finnish conspiracy theory, thinking about that sample, is that going to happen again this year? Do we need to swap that out with something else?
Well, we just got to wait until Backstrom's injured. And
this is true.
It's just a different kind of Finnish conspiracy, right?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, so... I don't know, we got some news to dive into, so why don't we just do that? So we've already played all the preseason games at this point. We got our first game of the season tomorrow night.
Over and done.
We're done. The Wild go 3-2-1 in the preseason, winning all three home games. Standouts in the short season include Jason Pominville with 8 points, including, and that's in four games, including a hat trick, natural hat trick, against the Penguins at home. And you got Granlund, Parisi, and Dumba all with 5 points as well, basically collectively tied for second. I know that, you know, most of the games weren't televised. I know I saw a few that were and some that weren't through some
other resources.
some questionable internet streams. From what you guys saw, were there any performances that impressed you that stood out?
I mean, I know. Pominville got a hat trick against Pittsburgh in the third period against their backup tryout goalie, and
right,
one was an empty
right.
net. So
right.
I mean, yeah, it was great to see him do that. Hopefully, he can play like that against, you know, some of the big boys. But you know, at least it was nice to see him shoot and actually get some pucks in the net.
Hitting the net is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah. So, and I mean, obviously, yeah, Pominville putting up some points like that, you're going to say, you know, he had a great preseason.
And it makes sense that Parisi and Granlund also scoring points, because if Pominville scoring, odds are those other two are getting assists at least. Right.
Let's hope that line continues that trend.
Yeah.
And that's kind of actually going to be my point, is not just anybody in general, but the team – as a whole, it seems like we're getting a little bit of offensive production going on. That's a positive thing for me to see. I like right. to see some offensive production. We don't always get to see that with the Wild. So.
Right. I know a lot of people were pretty impressed with Dumba's performance. I mean, five points. I mean, he's a rookie still at this point.
He is.
And a D-man putting up the most points for a D-man. Granted, I think he played just about all the games, so... That probably skews things a little bit, but outside of Dumba, I thought, I don't know if you guys were able to catch Michael Kiernan at all, but he's that Finnish player that was the league-leading scorer in the elite Finnish Elite League.
Okay.
Super quick kid. I mean, super quick. I think he's going to try playing in Iowa, so he's not going to start out with, I mean, he's not going to be with the Wild. Or the big boys.
Yeah.
But he could opt out and go play in Finland for another year, or another year or two.
Right.
and go basically clean house. But I think he's going to give Iowa a shot, which is good because that probably gives the Big Wild a chance to see him develop closely.
Right.
Gives him experience on the North American ice, which is different than the international style. Yeah,
a little smaller. But he's
much like Halla or Zucker. He's got speed.
Good.
And that's really good because I don't think we have a ton of speed. I mean,
we got a few guys that definitely have some wheels, but they're not gonna be winning any competitions anytime soon.
I think Halla and Zucker are probably neck and neck as far as the fastest guys on our team right now. Kiernan would probably give them a run for their money, and I think that's. Even though he's 24 now, he's 24. Even though he's a little older, I think we should be able to see him pretty soon and really make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, at that age, you're coming into your prime, so.
Right.
I mean.
His time in the Little Leagues is probably limited at this point. So.
We need more Finns, too. We don't have enough.
I think that can always be said, right?
Yeah, that can always be said. And Swedes. We could always use some more Swedes. We don't want to, discourage or, discriminate against anybody in particular.
Right.
You got a problem. Not the French. We don't need any more French.
You got a problem with black hockey players?
No.
Well, thank you.
We don't have any of them either.
You paused awfully long there. That made me a little uncomfortable, to be honest.
I was trying to think of a black hockey player from Finland to, prove my point.
Does Finland have black hockey players?
I guess that would be a question to our Finn friends. They got black metal.
They do.
They do. Oh, Lord.
And this derailed
We've already gone way too far at this point.
Death to all but metal. All right. Well, with that, let's keep things rolling right along here. The Wild did pick up Nate Prosser off of the waivers.
That's so funny.
Elk River's own.
Elk River native.
Hey, he was also Mr. Hockey Day Minnesota last year.
Was he? He wasn't Mister, but he.
Or he was.
He had the game-winning goal.
He did
on Hockey Day Minnesota. Yeah,
that happened to be held in Elk River last year.
Well, not the Wild game. But,
no, but yeah. Hockey Day Minnesota.
Oh, really? I thought the Wild were down there.
they're the hanky pit. <Right? laughs>
So, yeah.
While playing in front of a crowd of 15.
it's crazy out here today.
What did they say that the first Toronto and Montreal game had like 70 people or 700 people
in Toronto.
Toronto lost.
Right. Speaking of that, are we even ever going to get an outdoor game? Actually,
is Bettman still commissioner?
Probably.
Then no.
Damn.
I think Chicago deserves another.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh hasn't had enough yet.
Yeah. No.
Philly.
Detroit's a beautiful city. They should put another one up there.
Well, they got all that farmland in the inner city now from all the houses that have been torn down.
I think when the Wild do get an outdoor game, it'll be against our national rivals, Columbus.
Columbus.
What happened to Arizona?
That makes sense, too,
Hey, there's a lot of snowbirds down in Arizona there.
There are. This is true.
Yeah.
You think they want to drive back up here for the game? They're down there for a reason.
We'll just pass on that game, okay?
Yeah. All right, so anyways, but yeah, the Wild picked Prosser up off of waivers from St. Louis. It's not clear really at this point if there's actually a spot on the roster for him. We'll just kind of have to wait and see with that. I mean, really, this year, as far as defensively, I think that we're kind of in pretty good shape. We're kind of stacked,
Right.
We got a lot of depth going on there, which is not a bad thing. It might have even just been last year when we were coming into things, and we were wondering, who's going to be playing D for us, really?
Right.
So, I think we've kind of shored up some loose ends there. How do you guys think that the Wild will fare defensively this year?
Well, and I think that's you make a really good point about us being stacked because. I know he's banged up, but Ballard basically is starting scratched to be in the season.
Yeah, he took a puck to the chest. is what happened, and I guess he was.
I don't know. Ballard is really close to Gilbert in my mind. So, it's, the one difference is Gilbert or Ballard can actually lay out a pretty wicked hip check.
Yeah, he can.
I don't know about the rise of his game, but he can lay out a hip check like nobody's business.
So is it that, or is he a checking Gabrick?
No, I wouldn't say that because I think his legs still work, and I don't know if he's had any shoulder problems. Okay. He just happens to get in the way of the pucks at the wrong time.
Yeah. And well, he happens to be out of games a lot.
Well, that and I just think I don't know what it is about the Wild and bringing in guys that are Minnesota-based or originally from Minnesota, and they turn into pumpkins or actually usually what it is they had some major flaw before they came here. And nothing really got fixed. So they're basically the same mediocre player they were beforehand, or flawed player, maybe not mediocre, but flawed player before they got here. And they're now just continuing on with those flaws.
Leap.
That's actually, well, it was either that or Havlat. So.
Well, Havlat, yeah.
Havlat.
Is he playing for Anaheim yet? That would work out.
Sounds like he's playing for Aflac.
Yeah, you know, the Ducks. Right. Aflac.
This segment brought to you by Aflac. Aflac.
I can see it now.
Speaking of
Aflac, call us. We need some new mics.
you think Gabrick's got a sponsorship by Aflac, or will he? Or will they not? Will they not pick him up anymore?
Well, he's got a problem with driving and drinking, so...
No, that was Heatley.
I think you transitioned over to Heatley.
Oh, no, I said...
So Aflac's going to stay way from Heatley at this point.
I said, you think...
Heatley owes them a lot of money.
Do you think Aflac's still insuring Gabrick, or is he too big of a risk now?
I don't know.
Wow, this conversation is just degrading.
So that said, is there any chance that we'll see Prosser? Do you guys think in like a consistent type of role with the Wild this year? Or do you think it's going to be kind of a back and forth type relationship between these?
I think part of it's going to depend on how Foligno and Dumba end up, how fast they end up picking up the system.
Yeah.
You know, if they're still mediocre or whatever, I could see Prosser coming up and doing something.
Well, and it's pretty obvious that Mike Yeo has got a boner over Prosser. Otherwise, we wouldn't bring him in and not like put him through the same paces. He knows the system, so there is that to be said. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah, he already knows how it runs here, you know.
But at the same point, and Prosser isn't like Justin Falk. Justin Falk we sent right down. He was like one of the first cuts we made. So Prosser is, I mean, when I look at him, he's got more talent than Falk does.
He's true borderline guy.
He is, you know, and it sucks for him, but, you know, that's the part of being in the big leagues, you know.
Right.
Well, speaking of new signings.
New signings.
In the 11th hour, the Wild signed another Minnesota boy and former teammate of Zach Parise, Ryan Carter. You know, while his stats might be, you know, relatively unimpressive. Carter has kind of a pedigree of being a defensive forward, you know, good on the penalty kill, a big body, willing to be physical. He might not win a lot of fights, but he's willing to throw down if need be and get his face punched.
Konopka.
Maybe not nearly as bad as that, but, you know. His signing will, since he's a forward, his signing will likely push guys like Cody Allman, Vayu, and Stu Bickel to Iowa. Does this move make sense, bringing him in basically at the last moment? He's been practicing, I think, on a professional tryout with New Jersey, but they didn't really have space for him.
Right.
So it's not like he's not in shape, but does it make sense to bring him in? Does it harm, you know, like someone like Heaven's, you know, Zucker, where Zucker's going to be pushed possibly out?
I think if it turns into a Konopka type situation, yeah, then it's going to hurt the team in general. But I think Carter's got a little bit more talent than what Konopka had. You know, and if anything, maybe it'll make those other guys work a little bit harder to try to earn their spot up in the big leagues.
Yeah. And I know he's got a little history with Parise too. I mean, they've played
New Jersey,
together.
Yep.
Yeah. So, basically, and from what I understand, you know, like you say, he's a role player down there, as on that, like the, on your checking line. And
yeah,
I mean, we need some of those role players. Somebody like a Zucker, you know, they can play there, but that might not actually be their actual pedigree for that. You know,
well, so. I mean, to me, I mean, honestly, the Ryan Carter, he looks. You know, looking at his numbers and looking at the kind of player he is, he basically looks like Brodziak, but cheaper. Which makes me go, are we actually going to even bother keeping... I mean, it's been reported that, you know, the Wild are trying to shop Brodziak, but who wants to pay Brodziak $3 million a year?
Not for the numbers he's putting up.
Right. But, I mean, and that's where I go, do we really need two Brodziaks on our team? I mean...
Well, as long as he doesn't Brodziak it at the line, we'll be all right.
and you know, if he's great on the PK, you know, there's something to be said about that. You know, I mean, there really is.
Well, and having a good defensive forward that can match up with, you know, a top-line team, too. You know, when we start playing against teams like Chicago that have three good, solid top lines, you're going to want you're going to want some guys that can play some good defensive forwards on those lines to be able to shut those guys down.
Right. But I guess the problem that the Wild seem to have, at least the way I look at it, for over the last, you know, basically in the Fletcher era, is that we signed too many guys that are relatively one-dimensional.
Sure.
Maybe two-dimensional, but, you know, basically one-dimensional. You look at Konopka. He wins face-offs and gets his face punched, you know?
Face.
You know? There's plenty of guys where it's like they've got one thing going for them.
Take his face off.
All right.
Sorry, I derailed you.
It's all right.
I was in a moment though. So should we move right along?
Might as well.
You know. All right. You know, speaking of the Wild signing Ryan Carter, and you mentioned that, you know, this might force some people out. Well, it did force some people out. The Wild have released, number one, they released Briz.
Goalie. Is big.
We need some taps for that one, I think.
And, yeah, that's unfortunate, but... along with that, Corey Allman and Stefan Veau got cut from the team. Veau is sent down to Iowa for now.
Yep.
Now
the captain.
Oh, now listed as the captain.
Of the Iowa Wild. Okay. Along, and the alternates are Justin Falk and I'm blanking on who else it was, but yeah.
So I mean, there's a spot for him down there. And then I guess he's got the option to go play internationally here still. So I guess it's kind of up in the air with what he'll do.
Right.
I guess what I'd like to talk about, though, is Briz. I mean, I think this guy is kind of a fan favorite almost. At least he's one of my favorites.
I think that's pretty easy to gauge, yeah.
Sorry to see him go. I don't know. Do you guys think we'll see him back at all this year?
Well, if anything happens like last year, he'll be back, you know, come November.
Right.
I don't want to see that, but
yeah, because if we see him back, that means, well, no, I don't necessarily want to say I don't want to see him back, because I'd rather have him playing rather than a Backstrom who can't play. Because we've seen Backstrom in the last couple of years not be that great. And I don't want to keep him around just for the sake of keeping around and saving, Leopold a couple million to hold on to him.
Right.
Personally, I think Briz is better than Backstrom.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
I think you make the argument that Kemper is better than both of them, and I would acquiesce to that. But I don't – Backstrom, I don't – think he's not the same goalie as when he was under Lemaire.
Right.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Backstrom in the next couple of weeks. You know, just play.
Well, it's obviously we'll get to that, but I mean, it's obvious that he's not the number one goalie. So, that says a lot, really.
Yeah, and especially keeping Backstrom around as a backup goalie. At that point, it's not like you're looking to win something with him, basically. I think I'd rather keep around a little bit younger talent. I know Briz isn't the new kid on the block, but he's
3 or 4 years younger.
Yeah,
though,
he's got a few years, a few more years left in the tank, you know? Yeah.
Do you think any other team will pick him up or he'll sign with any other team?
I think for some reason it's not for some reason. He's gotten a reputation of being a weirdo or flaky or streaky, and it scares away teams. But, you know, you look how well he played, you know, when he was in Anaheim or in Arizona, and I don't see where the problem is. Oh, actually, I know where most of the problem is. It's with Philadelphia and the media there.
Humanga's big.
You know.
Yeah, and I think that it's pretty evident that Philly eats up pretty much any sports team, media wise, and the fans. I mean, it's a rough crowd out there.
Well, and Philly fans, I don't think he could go back to Philly. I know he can't because they're paying him money for the another 13 years or something like that, like mid-2020s,
right.
So he's got his retirement plan.
So do you think if, you know, he said he really enjoyed playing in Minnesota. Do you think he would even try to sign with another team right now, or do you think he would just hold off? I mean, he's got his paycheck coming one way or another.
I think that Briz is a guy, though, that does still love to play the game. So, yes, I do think that he would probably venture somewhere else if given the opportunity to play.
But but at the same point, I don't think he's gonna go out of his way.
He's not to go somewhere to sit on a bench.
He's not gonna do the dog and pony show. He's gonna be like, hey, if you want me, you know where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I'm getting paid anyway. I'm happy with my life. I love my life. My life is awesome. I don't need to be playing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys read any of the articles, the interviews with him, like when he first got to training camp. But like, oh, so how much training did you do over the summer? He goes, none. I traveled with my family. Like, you know, Wild called him to training camp. He showed up, and that's when he started training.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't see – yeah, I don't know if I foresee him actually chasing after anybody.
No.
Somebody calls him up and say, hey, we need something, I think he would give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in that said, then there's also Veyu, who is now down. But you said he is named the captain now.
Right.
I mean, he's kind of been a career, you know, third liner for the most of his career. Do you guys see that he's, you know, kind of tailing off to the end of his career? And, you know, this is probably, you know, on the outs basically by him being sent down there? Or is this just kind of a, you know, safe place to save him for a rainy day?
Well, you got to figure, you know, where does he stand in the call-up line? Because right now the Wild have one extra guy since Fontaine is injured.
He's on IR, yep.
So,
but I think he's due back, though.
Yeah, he shouldn't be too long, but yep. He comes back now that we've got Carter. Yep. Someone's got to go down.
Something's got to give.
Someone's got to be sent down. Who's going to be? I don't know, you know, if it's going to be Bickle or if it's going to be someone else. But you got to figure, where does Veyu stand? You know, is Veyu actually one of the first ones to be called back up? You know, if Allman's in Europe, you know, he's probably not going to be called up at that point.
Yeah, he's going to be hard to get here the next night when they need him.
Right. And if Kiernan actually goes to Iowa and is ready, you know, or if he's tearing up, you know, the American League.
Very true.
You know, maybe he skips above Veyu. I don't know. It might depend on who gets injured or if there's a situation like that.
What's open? And that's the thing is, I mean, Veyu, we know what we've got in him, you know.
Right.
Whereas some of the other prospects, you might want to, you know, test their waters here. Let them get their feet wet a little bit.
But we also know that the Wild are apprehensive about giving a good prospect fourth line minutes.
This is true.
Which doesn't make sense because that's, unless they're really coveted prospects, that's kind of how a lot of guys start.
You just got to work it in.
Yeah, it's like look at Zucker or Granlund or Holla. They all started third and fourth line and just proved that they are more than.
Which I think is why they're hesitant on putting some of these prospects on the fourth line that are going to be getting low minutes. They'd rather have them down in the AHL where they can play top lines and actually develop and keep their skills up instead of, you know,
riding the bench. And a lot of that problem also goes with when you're a fourth liner, you're basically on the scratch squad, the healthy scratch squad, where any given night you could be scratched and you're not getting any minutes.
Right.
And that's kind of the cut where it's like you bring up Vayu, it's no big deal if he sits in the press box. You know,
right?
He might be, you know, bummed. But if he's realistic, you know, he understands.
As your body gets on in years, you're probably like, oh, I'll have a good seat for the game at least.
Right? Can I drink beer when I'm up in the press box?
Hey Russo, pass me some popcorn. So we got some opening day lineups to talk about and some goalie situations. So Kemper's getting the opening shift in net for the Minnesota Wild this season. He was 2-0 in the three preseason games that he played in. It is rumored that Backstrom, because we're doing home and home against Colorado against the Avs for the opening series.
Right.
It is rumored that Backstrom, who has an amazing record in Colorado at the Pepsi Center, with 11-3-1, most wins in any arena outside of obviously the X. We'll get to start Saturday. The rest of the lineup for Thursday night season opener reads as follows. So top line, Breezy, Granlund, Pominville. Pomegranate line. not really surprised. Second line, Cook, Koivu, and Vanek.
That one's pretty surprising, actually.
What, having Vanek down there or having Cook up?
I'd say Cook up there. You know, you figure Cook, he's... You know what, normally third line.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's a solid third liner.
He's on the checking line.
Yeah.
So the third line, then we got Niederreiter, Holla, and Coyle, which, you know, what, maybe swap around Cook and Niederreiter? Is that possibly thinking?
Yeah, I mean, or Coyle, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
Cook really is a player without a home. In these lines, you know.
Right.
Because he is the checking guy. It almost feels like he should be with Brodziak and...
Carter?
Know, yeah, maybe Carter. Yeah, probably Carter.
Because then we got... Yeah, for our fourth line, we got Zucker, Brodziak, and Carter. Which we had kind of talked about the Brodziak-Carter situation earlier.
Right.
So then defensive pairing, we got Suter, Brodin on the top pair.
Expected.
Scandella, Spurgeon on the second pair, which I think will be they played well together last
year.
That's
pretty expected at this point, right?
And then surprisingly, for the third pair, we're looking at Dumba and Folin, two rookies. Yo did say that with the two rookies, Dumba and Folin, they will see time with Suter and shifts with Suter throughout the game, which is not surprising considering Suter will probably play as many minutes as Brodin, Dumba, and Folin combined. So, I mean, that only makes sense. With that, the only two players on that lineup to make their debut as a Minnesota Wild are Thomas Vanek and Ryan Carter. And every other player has actually had an NHL debut, so we have no newbies coming up.
You know, I just have to interject this. Ryan Carter and Ryan Suter is going to screw me up this season. I know it. I'm going to say Suter when I mean Carter. Or say Carter when I say mean Suter.
So just say Ryan and you'll be safe.
I know it will happen. I'm going to predict it right now.
So, yeah. All right. So with that, there's lots to dissect and lots to digest. So first up, the goalies. You know, Yo had mentioned that he didn't want to sit either goalie for too long. Obviously a little bit different than what we've seen from the past two playoff seasons,
right,
where it's play the hot hand until, you know, it turns to ice. So if Kemper has a blowout game, will Backstrom sit the second game still, or, you know, Backstrom versus Avs all time is 24-7-3. I mean, he's pretty solid against the Avs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think if Kemper's going to be our number one goalie, they need to go with it. They need to let it roll and get the gravy train rolling. I have my reservations that he should be our number one goalie. I have my reservations that he's our answer to the future. But if that's what Yo is deciding to do, is to have Kemper go, I think we need to give him the nod.
I think you have to keep in mind that I'm pretty sure that Yo was riding Kemper to the Calder Cup finals when Yo was coaching the Arrows.
Oh, sure.
So I'm pretty sure Kemper was in goal for him. So him and Kemper have history together. That being said, I share your concern that Kemper is our golden child.
Right.
I look at Kemper a lot like I do Harding, where Harding initially, and when he was younger, was very, I don't want to say streaky, but, you know, his play was little loosey-goosey.
Right.
And stress-inducing as a fan.
Yeah.
Where I see that, because Kemper's still relatively young at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not, you know, it's common knowledge that goalies kind of age a little bit, take a little longer to actually develop and grow into, you know, star caliber.
I thought you were going
to
say just mature in general.
That might be. That being said, I'm okay with rolling with Kemper. Because honestly, even though Backstrom's record is 24-7-3 against the Avs, how he did 34 games ago against the Avs has no bearing on how he's going to do tomorrow and on Saturday against
Very
the
true.
Avs. So I'm okay with that. I'm kind of sour on Backstrom. I don't think he's going to be any good this year. I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I'm not very hot on Backstrom at this point.
All right. Well, and okay, so second of all, we kind of discussed this as we're bringing up the lines. Any surprises with the forward lines? Obviously, we had kind of said the Cook being on the second line was kind of a shock.
Koivu being, I mean, I could see it coming, but there he goes. He's a second liner now.
Yeah, we got the younger version of Koivu on the top line right now.
Right.
Well, you know, and it seems to be kind of like the trendy thing to do now is have your best player be your captain. I don't think it's always that way, and you know, sometimes your captain is not your best player.
Right.
Well,
and truthfully, your captain needs to be somebody who can hold things together in the locker room, on the bench, and on the ice. You know, it's more than just answering to the refs when there's a call made on the ice.
Right.
You know? So
I think the only thing that really surprised me is I expected to see Coyle, Koivu, and Vanek. However, I did see there's a really good thread on Reddit where they're talking about, you know, maybe they want to put Cook on the line with Koivu and Vanek because, you know, especially for the first two games, because the Avs are going to be out for blood.
This is true.
Because Cook took out Barry last year during the playoffs with that questionable knee on knee.
Yeah.
You put Cook on the line with Koivu and Vanek, they're not going to be able to the Avs are not going to skate their goon line against that line because they're going to get beat.
Very true.
And so, you know, hiding Cook with a more talented line is actually pretty smart if you really think look at it that way.
Conspiracy theory.
You know, that is a valid, very valid point.
Yeah, no, it's I wouldn't have caught it otherwise, but that's hella smart, man.
You know, so do you think that'll change after the first two games?
Well, we've always seen Yo as a constant line juggler.
This is true.
Yo, yo, yo!
I mean, always. It's like he can't let line just stay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a problem with that. I think that's not a bad thing.
No.
Because our lines, and when we have an injury, they're inevitable.
They are.
Or penalties or just regular general
Your team soaks it right up and keeps rolling like a well-oiled machine. Yeah,
completely. Yep. So I think there will be juggling. And, you know, with that, you know, it could be that it's just for the first two games. And I understand that. If that's the case, that's brilliant. And it makes me go, wow, Mike Yeom actually might know what he's doing.
Did you just give some props there?
Maybe.
All right. So, yeah, that makes total sense, actually. It really does. And that just kind of blew my mind.
Left you speechless.
So, okay, D-lines. Having two rookies up for the third line paired together. Obviously, you know, Yo had said that they will get time with Suter.
It's just naturally.
And you know, maybe the third line is just maybe more of a mentorship program. You know, you come along to play with Suter on all his extra minutes on the ice, and it's not a bad partner to have on the ice, and it's a good opportunity for them to, you know, get some game time experience.
Or maybe is it just, you know, Yo saying that Brodin can't hang for 30 minutes a game. He needs another 5 minutes because he doesn't glide everywhere.
There are not many people, as you obviously know by the stat, that can hang for half the game on the ice.
Right.
So essentially we have 2.5 lines of D. We've got Scandella, Spurgeon, and then Suter and whoever he's paired with.
Right.
Is that what we're getting to?
I mean, especially, I mean, I... They only televised, what, 3-4 games during the preseason. Dumba, he's a hauler. He's a worker.
Well, we saw that from him last year, though.
So he's not going to be able – I don't know that he's ever going to be able to do 30 minutes a game.
That's a rarity for any hockey player. Doesn't matter your position, other than maybe a goalie, obviously. But
you know, he's probably solidly in the 20-minute line, you know, as far as, you know, his peak, his ceiling. So with that being said, having him spend some time where Brodin is resting a little bit, 5 minutes extra in a game, that makes a lot of sense. It makes a ton of sense, actually.
I mean, how do you guys feel, you know, those two being out there as a pair for 10 minutes of a game? As rookies.
Together. We'll have to let that be seen still. That you kind of leave a door open when you have a little bit of inexperience on the ice like that. But that said, you know, there's only one way to learn, really.
Right.
I mean, you can play at the lower levels and until you're blue in the face, but until you have to come into the big leagues and match the game speed and follow things in real time, you don't know. So
it can't be any worse than Gilbert and Falk, right? You know, as a potential pair. Or even Falk and Stoner, which probably would have been the more likely pair.
There's probably more of a potential of an upside with these two.
Right.
Well, I mean, okay. So obviously Yo saw something in them during training camp and the preseason game that he liked, so they must be catching on to his system pretty fast. I mean, Dumba already has played for him. Foligno did, what, one game, some practices last year?
Right.
All right, and last one, do you think Vanek and Carter will fit well into the Wild system?
I don't foresee either of them having a problem fitting in. Vanek, especially, I think that he'll come in, and, I mean, we need that offensive power that he brings,
right,
to like a second line or, you know, interchangeable with the top line.
I mean, you got to figure our first two lines are basically going to be playing similar amounts of minutes,
right,
in the game.
And that's a good thing to have. You don't want to end up with just that one top line that can do everything. And then, we've had that in the past, you know, where we got a good top line, but after that, there's nothing.
You just send out your shutdown line to face them, and
right,
you got nothing.
Yeah. Now we'll just keep it coming at them, you know. So.
Well, and I think, you know, just to go off of that, Vanek has played with Pominville, right?
True.
and Carter's played with Parisi.
True.
So, I mean, this team, these guys have experience prior to the season with players on this team.
Right.
And there's a good chance that Parisi or Pominville were lobbying for those guys, saying, "Hey,
oh, I'm sure they were.
You know, this is a great place to play.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt.
And the writing's on the wall that Leopold's willing to pay money and put a good team here.
Right. I hate to switch sports on you, and I know that things have changed now. But in the NBA, I mean, you took the LeBron, he goes down to Miami there. And, people follow talent. They want to go where they're going to be successful. They want to go where things are, said to be good. I don't know how great things are actually down in Miami there. But I know that here people speak very highly of the Wilds program and how they go about their business.
Heck, you can look even closer and look at the Twins.
Right.
Who in their right mind would want to sign with the Twins right now?
Good God, I don't know.
Because, if you're not signing quality talent in any sport.
Nobody wants to go play on that team.
Right. No one wants to play for a loser unless they are in it just for the money and they figure they can get a payday out of it.
Right.
And that's you're going to get those that kind of talent that might be on the edge.
And the Twins can't do that.
Well, okay, so now jumping back to hockey, this is what's been happening since Fletcher jumped in, though. Once Risenborough was out, Fletcher seemed to be able to attract some of that talent and keep that talent as well. Well,
let's be honest. He didn't have any talent until he got Parisi and Suter here.
Right. And he's been building around that.
Right. Once he got them in, things changed. Overnight.
Yep.
Because before we've got Heatley, we got Havlat, we've got
Setoguchi,
Cam Barker.
Have Benz.
Yeah.
Right.
We got a lot of mediocre talent at best. So until we've created now we've got a system that's exciting. Unlike the Lemaire days, even when the Wild were winning.
Yeah. There's nothing exciting about a defensive game.
No, there,
there
isn't.
There just isn't.
No.
The Lemaire trap, what?
Right.
I mean, that's why Gabrick wanted the hell out of here.
Yeah, that wasn't his game.
No, it wasn't. And I don't think a lot of players would be gravitating towards that, Because let's be honest, if you're a player and you're on a defensive team, your scoring is to be down, your potential for earning is less than that.
Yeah.
Because you can't leave that team and then make big bucks because you scored 20 goals less than.
And even in the end, do you want to go down in the books as the guy who scored, 80 goals? Or do you want to go down in the books as the guy who scored 250 goals throughout his
The goalies
career,
love
you
it.
Know? I mean,
right. That would be the only thing you'd really attract is good goalies.
Yeah.
And we never even did that. Was all homegrown goalies. Dwayne Rolison or Manny Fernandez.
Well, one of them was related to.
Well, he wasn't related, but married in.
Yeah.
Married in. Manny married Lemaire's daughter.
I think so.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Wow, we've gotten off topic.
So how do you do that? Do you go, hey, coach, do you mind if I.
Hey, if I marry your daughter, can I be the starting goalie?
Right.
What, you're not starting me? Yeah, you're not coming over for Christmas dinner this year.
Don't eat your mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you have a razor blade in your potato? Okay. So, wow, I kind of really went off topic.
We never do that.
No, not at all. All right. So here's an interesting fact that came up. More and more NHL players are now coming up through the collegiate system.
Yeah.
Last season, nearly one-third of the NHL players had come up through the NCAA.
Stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love Sagers.
This season, every NHL team has at least three players who played college hockey. Wild are on top of that with 12 players that came up through NCAA. Six of them have attended Minnesota colleges. What are these numbers pointing to? Younger hockey players starting to look at life after hockey. Is the American system where the NHL is now headed, or you know, what do you think?
Or maybe the Wild is just
kowtowing
to you know, the, because for years when we had Riseborough, all the Wild fans were like, we need more Minnesota players,
and he'd get in one or two that were just bad,
yeah. Him and Lemaire would not buy into the hometown hype. You could probably make the argument that Fletcher goes too far, because otherwise we wouldn't have guys like Stu Bickel around.
This is true, but that's the thing, is one thing that we do in Minnesota is actually produce some hockey talent.
We just added.
We're going to produce more hockey talent here than Arizona. I mean.
Well, two of the guys we just picked up this summer, both Vanek and Ryan Carter, played for Minnesota college teams in hockey.
Well, and there's something to be said, and this is, this sounds really scummy, but, you know, it's easier to sell to season ticket holders that you're bringing in Minnesota talent. It's easy to be, you know, not I would say patriotic, but, you know, have a lot of pride for the players you're producing if they're coming back home and playing for your team.
And I can tell you that down in Tampa Bay where the Lightning play, they don't give a fuck.
No, they picked up, who'd they pick up from the Gophers?
You mean,
or was that Florida?
You're thinking Bukestad?
Bukestad, yeah, that was Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Panthers, all right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and down there, they don't care where they came from. They could be from Mars, and you know, it wouldn't
still
make a big difference, right?
But, you know, Florida is also not the state of hockey.
No, it isn't.
Self-proclaimed state of hockey.
Well, I'm okay with having American players and Minnesota players on their team, but really it shouldn't matter where they're coming from. You should be looking at who's best, not where they were born. And
very true.
And under Riseborough, we were too ignorant of the Minnesota players. And I feel like under Fletcher, we've gone a little too far
way far on the other side. You know, always a happy medium in the middle, you know?
We're bringing in the Gilberts and the Ballards and the Stu Bickels of the world.
Hold on.
If I have a beer, it's okay. But if I have too many, well, that all fucked.
We're not talking about where they were born, because obviously Eric Halla and Christian Folin both came up through the collegiate system. We're talking about coming up through that way rather than coming up, say, through the Canadian juniors.
Yeah.
Is this the new system in the NHL now? Is this where everything's
stupid,
headed?
I'm Canadian and I love cigarettes.
I'm gonna say no, but it seems to be where Minnesota's. But I think they're still pandering to Minnesota fans.
Not just the Wild, hockey in general.
Except the Wild are like,
they're leading the pack with that,
right? I still think they're pandering, because you know, there's still plenty of people that are really into the Gophers and couldn't give two craps about the Wild.
True.
Right.
So you start signing Vanek and start signing, you know, you get Hall in there.
Might bring in some more interest.
You go against the grain and you get Parisi, because that kind of ruins that.
Keith
too.
Ballard, Stu Bickel, Halla, Vanek.
No Gopher fan wants to see a Sioux player on the Wild if they're going to be a Wild fan, you know.
Yeah. So what I guess I would have to say to that, though, is, as long as it's still okay for them to have younger players and bring younger players in, these NHL teams are going to continue to sign them for a very low price, because they're going to get a better deal on that guy than a guy who's been you know, shaped and molded through the collegiate system. Not saying that the collegiate system makes them that much better, but they're not to be bought at that time.
Well, anymore, and I think there's a difference between going through the college system, going through the Canadian minor system. Is when you're going through college, you know, one, you've got a you're not playing for money. You're basically, it's still amateur, and it's a little different in the sense that I think a lot of the guys that are playing now weren't actually draft picks. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, undrafted that were able to develop through a collegiate system. And by the time you're 22, you're hitting your prime in a hockey sense.
Right.
And you've been able to develop a little more organically, whereas in the minors system, you know, if you're with the Edmonton Oil Kings, you need to be producing. Otherwise, whatever talent you have, they don't really give a damn because they got to still sell tickets.
Right. They're still trying to, yeah.
Whereas, exactly. You know, a college team might be more willing to, you know, groom you because it's not as immediate need for them to sell tickets.
Right. Yeah. So I guess that's my point, kind of, is as long as there's still the opportunity for, like, the NHL to grab younger talent from these Canadian leagues. I mean, it's more of like a little scouting league for them, basically. So
right.
Well, it's absolutely what it is.
And you're going to be able to grab one of those guys at a cheaper price, at least in the beginning. So I don't see that things will change. Hopefully, I mean, it's good for everybody to get a little bit of education, right?
Okay, so now we're also seeing some of the Europeans coming over and hitting the colleges over here also, yeah. Though. So what's that saying? You know, are they doing it? Are the scouts looking more at the colleges now than they are over in Europe instead of scouting over there?
Or maybe it's colleges are looking more at Europe than
that could
than
be
they were
too.
Before, yeah. You know, you get a smaller school that might go, hey, maybe we need to look beyond our state boundaries or whatever.
Bring in a little talent. You win a few games.
Right.
Bring some recognition to the school.
You know, think like Mankato State. They're a smaller school within a state with a lot of powerhouses. If they go outside of, you know, Minnesota to find talent, go to try to get some Europeans over here, they could maybe do some damage with that.
Yeah.
You know, but the toughest part is, though, promising an education to a European student who's already getting it for free anyway. So,
right.
You know, so you got that little double-edged sword there.
We'll give you a scholarship, and you can go here, you know, tuition-free.
What is scholarship?
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
I don't know what country that was from, but.
Austria.
Okay. So,
can they play hockey in Austria? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I think that kind of wraps up our talk for the week. Obviously, we talked about we got two games coming up real quick here for
couple
the Wild.
More, yeah.
Wild playing tomorrow at home against the Avs, and then Saturday, Wild travel to Colorado, play in their house at Pepsi Center, Pepsi Arena.
Pepsi Arena?
Yeah, something like that.
The Avs and the Avs.
It's the Pepsi Co. with the seal, Colorado Pepsi Co. Oh yeah. That was myself.
So does that get linked back up to Minnesota here then somehow with the Pepsi Cola Corporation? Because isn't that a Polad company?
I don't think
not?
So.
No? Okay.
I think they just own a bunch of crappy radio stations.
Nerds.
Okay.
So, do you think we should talk about the game of the week, maybe?
A game of the week?
So, I was the big winner last year, right?
Wiener,
you were
baby.
The big wiener.
I was the big wiener, okay.
Humanga's big.
It was actually a pretty close race. I ended the season with 14 points. Jive had 12. Kenny had 10. And our guest had 8. So
I can say I was the second biggest wiener.
That's what she said.
So, with that, we're changing things up a little this season as far as our rules go. Everyone's going to be able to pick a winner and then pick the total goals in the game. You get a point for the winner, and then if you guess the winner, you could maybe get a point for the goals as well. If you
bonus.
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 In the bonus round.
Last place overall, we'll get to choose the game of the week. However, last year we had the winner choose, so, and since we don't have a last place, since we're all losers right now, I will choose the game of the week, and it's going to be the Wild against the Avalanche.
Now, the Wild against the Avalanche or the Avalanche against the Wild?
That's a tough choice.
It is.
I'm going to go with the Avs against the Wild.
There we go.
Okay.
Wild at home.
we're Wild at home. First game of the season. We're going to go with that. And I'm going to go with the Wild winning. As Kenny so politely pointed out, the Wild usually win their home openers. I think they've...
Two
they've lost.
Yeah, I may have looked at one of the stats wrong, and it may not have been the home opener. It might have been the season opener when I was going through the season.
Sure.
But I know one for sure that was a shootout against Chicago, I think, last year.
That sounds right.
And yeah. Then I think there may have been one previous loss in, 15 years or whatever.
So going with the Wild winning at home at the home opener is a pretty solid bet. And so I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to go with 6 total goals. If I was taking the smart money, I'd probably go 5, but I'm going to go with 6.
I'm going to stick right in there with the big wiener, and I'm going to go with the Wild as the winner. But I am going to undercut them a little bit on the total goals. I'm going to go with 5 goals. I mean, there'll be plenty of offense, but I don't think it's going to be too humongous big.
Humongous big.
And I am also going with the Wild, just looking back at history. I am going with 6 goals as well.
Well, all right. I think that kind of wraps up our show, don't you think?
I believe so.
I think we're out of time.
Shut up!
Exactly. So, when I am not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter, at AaronJP. I rarely post because I don't have time to, but when I do, it might be good. I don't know. And you can also check out my band. We are Pinrot. You can find us at pinrot.com. Kenny.
And when I'm not here, you can find me at RottenK999. Some retweets, mainly audio humor. So,
the audio guy. And I'm Jive. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. You can also catch me hanging out with these guys once in a while. Maybe I'll jump in there and do a little live tweeting with them when I can. That's about all I got.
So I think that wraps it up. We hope Wild have a great start to the season, and we'll see you again next week.